The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Thank God we made it to Friday. Dominic, how you doing, my little buddy?
Pretty happy Friday to you, Rich, man. Thanks for working the board. Got some awesome audio for our fair audience today. And thank you for sticking around to the political party. It's been a long week. It is over. The RNC is done. Capped off the cherry on top, question mark, a Trump rambling for 92 minutes.
What a speech. That was a sidewinder.
I thought he was the longest speech in history, my understanding, the last two speeches by Trump. He holds the record for longest acceptance speech at the RNC. Congratulations, Mr. Trump.
And last night's speech was second only to, or first, exceeded first. Trump's prior.
Prior to, yes.
That must have been the 2016 speech. Less people attended in 2020, you know, the COVID pandemic and all.
But he still spoke, and it was still a record. And then this one, of course, beat all of that. And I got to tell you, my favorite part, Kid Rock. Kid Rock performing at the RNC here in Milwaukee. And the cameras were constantly, always on Kid Rock. Because you know why? The audience didn't know what the hell was going on. Even when Rock was going, Trump, they do a little, but they didn't know the words, they didn't know the song, they didn't know the rip up. It was the one that he rips off of samples from Metallica. It was very entertaining. Some people call him Bob.
Do you think they would have had better luck with the RNC delegates if they'd had Metallica come out and play?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it would have worked at all. I mean, maybe the
they Lee were Greenwood. All rocking along to Lee Greenwood, Dom.
Well, they certainly knew the dad bands, you know, the classic rock, when they had to fill in during, you know, various problems with the teleprompters and so forth. But Kid Rock's last night, of course, the Hulk Hogan. What, dude? It was certainly
where all my Trumpomaniacs at.
And dude, Dana White, I mean, I don't know, maybe there's certainly a lot of pressure, I guess, but, you know, what kind of pressure really is there? I mean, Dana White's been around a long time. He was up on stage, and there was a side shot of him, and he's holding his notes. Don't ever do that, man. His hands, that paper was shaking, I tell you. But that was a little strange to me as well. And, of course, and Trump gets up there and just puts everyone to sleep. And it was interesting because he was kind of on script for a while. And then you could tell it was evident when he'd go off on a tangent and then he'd come back on script and then he'd go off on a tangent and then he'd come back on script. What a show. I'm glad it's over.
Anyone that has never attended a Trump rally, and other than you and I, Dom, and I think we dragged Earl DeMosney once. I don't think that's most of the audience. Most of them have never been to a Trump rally. But if you watch that RNC speech from Trump last night, you have now, because that's what it looks like. That's what it sounds like. And literally, even the cult members, by the end, they're a little glazed over. They're ready to go home. They want to sleep. I want to go to bed now. That's how he leaves them at the end of his speeches.
But seemingly to me, Curdy, the Trump rallies that we've gone to were way more energetic than this. I mean, he was purposefully trying to, I guess, keep a low and consistent.
Okay, I'll give you the first 15 minutes, dude. But so
that was it, yeah.
But after the first 15 minutes, he went full Trump. I listened to the entirety of the speech. Thank God I didn't fall asleep. I was driving back from Milwaukee last night, and I had it through the static on the radio. It was getting worse and worse. And I didn't mean the static. I mean the speech. It was getting worse and worse. But I listened to all of it. I was shocked. Well, I make a small exception. So I drove back from Milwaukee. Trump's still talking. Get home, called my wife. She's on the road with one of our sons. Called her, spoke to her, came back. Trump's still talking. Put it on the TV. I thought I was watching a replay. And I realized it's the same freaking speech that started like 3 days ago. Or at least it felt like that to me. Now, I had seen David Axelrod, I believe Chris Wallace, given original attribution on this. He said that speech today, or last night, the Trump speech. Best thing that's happened to the Democratic Party in a month. Right. But it didn't keep. You know, here is the late breaking local news. My congressman, our friend, Mark Pocan, and I was at a Joe Biden rally in Madison just a couple weeks ago, and my pal, Mark Pocan, there he is, introducing and standing with President Joe Biden on the stage. Met him on the tarmac that day as well. And then today, Mark said, Joe, for the good of the country, step aside, pass the torch. Puff, puff, pass. Joe, you're Bogarting the presidency.
It wasn't just Mark. It was a few other Democratic reps as well. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel quote, here's what the letter said. We must face the reality that widespread public concerns about your age and fitness are jeopardizing what should be a winning campaign. These perceptions may not be fair, but they have hardened in the aftermath of last month's debate and are now unlikely to change. Pocan and his colleagues said they believe that the most responsible and patriotic thing Biden can do is to step aside as the party's nominee and pass the torch to a new generation of Democratic leaders led by Vice President Kamala Harris, who's scheduled to visit Milwaukee on Tuesday, the vice president coming to Wisconsin.
Perhaps the future Democratic nominee, we'll see. I did hear that the VP is coming to Milwaukee on Tuesday. First I had heard was earlier today. And, you know, I'm going to try to go, Dom, on behalf of this fine program. I'll do my best to see if I can get inside the tent, inside the tent coverage when the Democrats come to town, if you know what I'm saying, Dom. So I'll hope to be at the VP. But this was not a good sign because Joe had Pocan in his column just a couple weeks ago, or so it seemed publicly. And, you know, I like Mark Pocan. I would do pretty much whatever Mark said. I mean, I've never found him very far off base on policy or any other damn thing. So Mark has really come around my way of thinking on this. This is a very important weekend, and this is a very important show. We've got Chris Larson, a Democratic state senator from the great state of Wisconsin. He's going to join us at the bottom of the hour, as Dom likes to say, about 3:30 Central Time. And then later, we're going to talk to Joe Zepecki. Joe Zepecki is one of our Dem strategist friends. And Dom, my understanding is Joe was in the room till the bitter end, or at least damn close to it. Late night for Joe. The fact that he's coming on today is just a sign of his friendship and character.
Right. Thank you, Joe. We look forward to that conversation. Kurt, I got to tell you, one of the best decisions we made as a show product was not to attend that speech last night. I'm so glad that we didn't have to put up with that. We're in there. We had some drinks, had some food, got to hang out with some nice people, and then was able to just kind of go home and listen to it as we chose. Being stuck in that room for, 92 minutes? Ugh. We did that once, man. The last time Trump broke the record for longest boring-ass speech at a convention.
The American dream is dead.
Is dead.
Well, he declared in 2016.
Kenneth Hubdy, he's gonna restore the American dream, you know, because Trump killed it? I'm not clear.
I did see something interesting over the course of the weekend. Candidate Hubdy, according to his financial disclosures, is possibly billionaire Hubdy. This guy is going to be amongst the richest in the U.S. Senate, should he effectively be elected. I mean, you got to be rich to be amongst the richest in the U.S. Senate. Hovde, in some of his disclosures, and some have caps, you know, assets worth over $50 million, but he's got cumulative assets that he had to disclose based on the lowest, highest threshold numbers of like $500 million, dude. $500 million, wow. Just in the forced disclosure documents. Not actually, that's not what he gives the bank or the other bank he owns, because he literally owns the bank. He doesn't borrow money from the bank. The bank borrows money from candidate Hovde. That's how rich he is. So anyways, that was what I thought about Hovde. And Monday, Mark Pocan, no longer on board for Joe Biden, came out publicly today. And now we've got over 30 Democratic congresspeople, also a U.S. senator. Three have come out. And my understanding is this is a very important weekend in the political career of Joe Biden. And what he's considering, you know, there's a lot of thought. I've seen a lot of editorials. Do it now, Joe. Steal that bump from the Republicans. Steal all their thunder.
Is there a bump, though? I mean, maybe do it.
There's always a little bit of a convention bump. Sure.
Come on. That rambling speech, I don't think is going to go over well. The reporting I've seen on it is not great or stellar. I listened to most of it. No, I think in some regards, just like after Joe Biden had a terrible debate, Trump just sat back and let him wallow in it. I mean, I don't think there's going to be a huge bump coming out of this RNC. Certainly the Republicans are united, but I'm not clear that Dana White and Hulk Hogan really impacted the suburban moms. A little bit more from the Journal Sentinel on the Pocan asking Biden to step aside. Pocan this week hinted he might join a growing number of Democrats calling on Biden to step aside. He told the Journal Sentinel on Thursday that he had heard concerns from constituents over Biden's viability, saying, quote, "If I told you there was a two-hour period of any day this week that someone didn't reach out to me personally, much less reach out to my office, I would be lying." Later, that same day, he tweeted his own survey on Twitter. "What do you think President Joe should do?" he asked, listing the options: pass the torch, stick in there, and don't know. Pass the torch overwhelmingly won.
Dominic, here is the best news coming out of Milwaukee all week. A lot of flights canceled. A lot of people stuck, in the immortal words of Nelson Mandela Munns, the character from The Simpsons. Ha ha! I can't imagine how many of the 50,000 delegates are still waiting on flights with the shenanigans, the gremlins. Couldn't have happened to a better party. Come back, more Devil's Advocates.
The American dream.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Thank you for listening to The Devil Advocates Radio. Telephone lines are open. Talk or text 844-967-2789. Wisconsin State Senator Chris Larson, my Wisconsin State Senator, now that I have moved into that area. He's going to join us at 3:30. Stick around for that.
Do you ever know the character Nelson from The Simpsons was Nelson Mandela Munns? I just learned that today. I want to make sure. You know, I didn't want to screw up the last name. I'm like, Nelson Munns, right? So I looked it up. Nelson Mandela Munns. Could he make the claim that he is the other Mandela?
I mean, as a fictional cartoon character, I'm pretty sure you can claim anything.
They're often predictive, these Simpsons. 844-967-2789. Winners and losers. You know, it's always easy to write that after the fact. And our buddy, Dan Bice, over on the Page Six coverage at the Journal Sentinel, well, that's what he always does, Dom. He does the winners and the losers. And you're a winner. You're listening to us right now. But there are a few of the losers I want to accentuate from the Dan Bice column. Let's take them sequentially, Dom. I'm going to read a little bit here from Dan. All that was needed for the former president, Donald Trump, was to stick to the script of his speech, and just about everything else had gone according to plan at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. For the most part, the speeches, the music, the crowd had been great. Now it was up to the former Republican president to do his part. And for a while Thursday night, he did. In somber tones, Trump told how he narrowly escaped an assassin's bullet on Saturday. There was his typical rhetorical flourishes, but for the most part, it was riveting TV.
I stand before you in this arena only by the grace of Almighty God,
he told the Republican National Convention, using the story to call for greater national unity. But then Trump increasingly dropped his planned speech to offer off-the-cuff remarks. As he did this, the old Trump crept in as he stepped up his criticisms of Democrats and began bragging about his own accomplishments. Finally, he went on to attack President Joe Biden, despite saying he would not use his name.
If you took the 10 worst presidents in the history of the United States and added them up, they will not have done the damage that Biden has done. Only going to use the term once, Biden.
Well, you just used it twice, you moron.
I'm not going to use the name anymore. Just one time, the damage that he's done to the country is unthinkable.
As Bice writes, what had begun as possibly a 40-minute transformational speech dissolved, or devolved, as he writes, into just another 92-minute campaign rally address. An opportunity was lost in terms of the former president would understand he had a 6-shot lead midway through the final round of a major golf tournament. All he had to do was avoid any mistakes. On Thursday night, the undisciplined Trump bogeyed. He still has a lead as the Democrats continue to scramble to figure out who just should be on the November ballot. But Trump clearly missed his chance in front of the bright lights on the last night of the strong convention. There were plenty of other winners and losers during the Republican National Convention. Does that mean Trump was the loser, or at least the speech last night? Winner, City of Milwaukee, speech, Dom. Certainly. City of Milwaukee shone, according to Dan Bice.
Everyone involved in the staging, Reince Priebus, Peggy Williams-Smith from Visit Milwaukee, Peter Fagan, a president of the Milwaukee Bucks, many others deserves a huge round of applause, according to Dan Bice. The city fights informed the district were at their best throughout the week. Equally stunning was the $465 million expansion of the Barrett Center, the city's convention hall. Marty Brooks, president and CEO of the Wisconsin Center District, took a big risk and won. Milwaukee was an exceptional host, and the convention was flawless, boasted one longtime Wisconsin Republican. Many, including me, think it was the best RNC they have ever attended. In short, when the New York Times calls Milwaukee a beach town, you know something went right.
Let's talk
apparently
about...
Crudy, go ahead, the losers. You do the loser,
oh,
man.
I was so eager to get out the next round of losers, Dom. I'm sorry.
Don't spill your thunder. Please, I insist.
Bice writes, not so long ago, there was a lot of talk in the media about how a trio of Wisconsin politicians were transforming the Republican Party and bringing about a so-called cheesehead revolution. Cheesehead revolution. Journal Sentinel columnist Craig Gilbert once called it an audacious compact of GOP politics. Conquest. I'm sorry, my eyes are a little blurry. Apparently stayed up too late watching Trump speak last night. They offered a model for bridging Republican frictions between establishment and base. They became national figures. And then Bice writes, oh, have times changed. Former House Speaker Paul Ryan wasn't even at the RNC. And they had merged agendas after all, Dom.
See? Sooner or later, he will reject you.
And then Bice writes, former gubernator Walker, was just another delegate, an occasional talking head. Only Priebus remains a significant figure in the party. Speaking on the convention floor on Thursday night, Walker said the Cheesehead Revolution, I struggle with that apparently, had a significant impact on GOP politics. It laid the groundwork for what we see today, Walker said. And then Bice said, okay, that's one take. Apparently not one he shares.
Crudy, get down. Come on. Derek Van Orden, another loser. Please, I insist. Tell us about him.
Oh, Derek Van Orden. He had so many multiple cases of being a loser, Dom. Who knew that U.S. Rep. Derek Van Orden, a former Navy SEAL, was such a snowflake? We suspected.
We knew.
We allege he's an angry drunk. At least Crudy does. On Tuesday, Van Orden, a Prairie du Chien Republican, bumped into a young Code Pink activist near the Pfister Hotel. and ended up dragging police into it, accusing her of assault. Thankfully, Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office announced that it had decided not to bring charges against Nior Jaghama, the Code Pink critic of the Gaza War, because the evidence in the case, including police body camera footage, is insufficient to support a criminal charge. Then Van Orden took a shot at the Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson after the congressman told urban Milwaukee that the mayor had done a horrible job leading Wisconsin's largest city. Johnson fired back on the Twitter, you know, the X-Dom. I hope that Mr. Van Orden's visit to Milwaukee was more memorable than his visit to the United States Capitol on January 6th. Boom! Oh, Chevy takes a shot. He scores. Folks, we are the Devil's
and
Advocates.
Wins.
We got a fine guest. Chris Larson, state senator, friend of ours, a Democrat. You're all winners when you listen to the Friday edition. And you can air the grievances here. 844-96-PARTY.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Thank God it's Friday. Thank God the RNC MKE 2024 is in our rearview mirror. At least those of us that got out of Milwaukee in a reasonable time frame. But right now we got a fine state senator. He represents Milwaukee. He is our friend Chris Larson. Chris, been too long. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
Well,
happy post-RNC party.
Indeed.
The cleanse is what the cleanse begins.
The cleanse or the purge, is it called, Chris?
I don't know if you want to use the purge word.
Yeah, we'll use cleanse. I like that.
I think this election is tense enough as it is.
Right.
Chris, is Milwaukee getting back to normal? I understand they were up late overnight. They were moving a lot of the concrete barriers. The good news is there wasn't a lot of foot traffic getting in the way downtown this week. The bad news is you couldn't really get around downtown this week. Chris, an inconvenience for many of the residents that maybe didn't share the ideology of the delegates at the RNC. Is it good to say adios to the RNC?
Yeah, I mean, you had it was the, you know, if anybody was wondering what would keep Milwaukeeans away from an extended bar time in, you know, in the middle of summer, the answer was a bunch of Trump supporters inhabiting those bars. So unfortunately, the bars were empty for most of downtown Milwaukee. Bad for the servers, bad for business, you know, and unfortunately, they kind of came in and went out with a whimper. There's just not that many Republicans who wanted to come to root on Donald Trump. So I think that bodes well for what things are going to be this November. But unfortunately, you know, our city had to be the backdrop for that. You know, including some folks getting bumped into by a congressman who's looking to try and pick a fight. So it's all done now. Now we're waiting for the final estimates and exactly what the economic impact was. But I can tell you from rolling around on there, it was pretty boring.
Now, I don't know if you heard any of Trump's speech, Chris, but last night as part of his rambling speech, he basically said, "I'm here to buy your vote, Wisconsin. I'm here to buy your vote, Milwaukee."
Exactly what he said.
Do you think that was a successful transaction? Chris, are you ready to sell your soul?
I think he put the price tag at $250 million. And that was enough for my son, who should have been in bed at the time, to sound off and being like, "There's no way." He said, "There's no way they spent that much money here." So no, unfortunately, you know, multiple parts about that comment are not factual. I don't see Milwaukeeans jumping on board with Donald Trump. You know, the rest of the state, you know, it's not going to go easy. I think there has to be these individual conversations with folks, to make sure they engage. Right now, it's something like 1 in 4 voters nationwide are planning on sitting out this election. So, there's got to be those conversations to make sure people know what's on the line and why they got to vote early or get out there and vote on November 5th.
Chris Larson, our fine guest. Chris, if the economic impact hits $250 million, I'm just telling you, the devil's advocates did their part with the bar tab this week. But on a more serious note, sir, a homeless Milwaukee man lost his life at the hands, perhaps of his own actions, but also at the hands of five Columbus, Ohio police officers who shot him for apparently being armed downtown and creating a confrontation. But Chris, if the RNC wasn't in town this week, that man might still be alive.
He probably would be. Yeah, he probably would be. And I think that there's a, you know, look, I think that that was the biggest, one of the bigger concerns about this was bringing in a large group of officers from different jurisdictions who do not know Milwaukee and did not have a clear protocol to be able to follow. And it took a while to be able to get information about what had happened there. We'll see what the final results are, but this, you know, this looks like something that could have been de-escalated again. You know, it seems odd that we had five officers shooting at one homeless man, but we cannot get a single person to be able to do crisis intervention or a single person to be able to intervene with mental health, you know, relief. It seems odd that we had that many officers, you know, willing to pull the trigger. And yet, when it comes time to fund services that would actually help alleviate the problems that result in this, you know, Republicans never turn the money over, and that those things never get funded.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. My State Senator Chris Larson joining us on the phone. Chris, always a pleasure, man. The big news out of the convention: the vice presidential pick. J.D. Vance, Chris, what was your sense of the selection of for vice president on the Republican side?
I mean, honestly, what's not to love? You know, he's literally taken every stance on every single issue. So it's just a matter of which J.D. Vance you want to uphold. You know, this is a guy who has been I would say he's been consistent of being against abortion, including advocating for a nationwide abortion ban most recently. You know, this is a guy who at one point called Donald Trump America's Hitler before completely acquiescing and saying, you know, that he didn't mean that. So, you know, this it seems very appropriate that this would be Donald Trump's running mate, you know, somebody who, you know, takes different positions depending on what who is talking to him and who he's talking to. I don't know if he's going to drag, you know, bring that many people excitement. It sure seems like they're just doubling down on Donald Trump. I think who was it? I think the Daily Show kind of commented that he looked like the you know, the after school special actor that was playing his son.
Well, he won the contest. He won the prize, Chris. He is the most loyal. And he said he would do what former Vice President Pence would not do. You know, here in the state of Wisconsin, obviously we were part of this January 6th, the soft coup. We had our own fraudulent electors. But, you know, Trump and that crew that orchestrated this entire effort on January 6th haven't really been held to account yet, Chris. Do you think this is going to have an impact between now and November?
In Wisconsin, I think it would be good if they did, considering that Vance has come out and there's a reason why Mike Pence is not on the ticket, right? Let's be clear. Right. Like if Donald Trump didn't like what he was doing to the point where he ordered an angry mob after him, where his life was put in danger as they threatened it vocally in an incident that resulted in five deaths and 120 injuries. On January 6th, you know, 3.5 years ago. So Vance saw that, you know, which is kind of shocking. I'm sure you saw the meme going around online. Always ask the new employer why the job is vacant. you know, but J.D. Vance is deciding to, you know, just ignore all those warnings. And he thinks he can ride the MAGA tiger to victory. And I think in, you know, to paraphrase Kennedy, those who think that they can ride a lion to victory are going to find themselves inside of it. So there is only one person that they are loyal to. This group is loyal to, and it's Donald Trump. And I am sure it'll either happen sooner or later, but J.D. Vance will fall to the ire of Donald Trump. I'm hoping that it happens once they flame out and they start dropping in the polls. And I'm sure that'll be when Donald Trump doesn't take the blame himself, but decides to blame his VP nominee.
Well, Chris, on the other side of the aisle, President Joe Biden, under increasing pressure, and one of our favorite congressmen, Mark Pocan, came out today and is one of, almost 30, I guess, Congress people trying to suggest that Biden drop out. The reports are he's evaluating with his family. A lot's in the air on the Democratic side. Certainly there's some unity over on the authoritarian side with the Republicans, Chris, but what's your sense on what's going on in the Democratic Party and the top of the ticket? And if there's a change, who would you like to see?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, I think it is above my pay grade at this point. I can tell you I've had a number of conversations and, everyone is worried about Donald Trump being the nominee on the Republican side. And we want to make sure that we have the best possible ticket. There's only one man who can make the decision if he wants to jump off the ticket. I think he's hearing from more and more folks about, frankly, where the public's at. And there is about 1 in 4 people, as I mentioned earlier, who are undecided, who are planning on skipping this election. And I think the way to be able to get that attention is maybe to be able to listen to them and to be able to do something to jumpstart the ticket. If that happens, if it goes down that path, I think that we will have Kamala Harris as our nominee. And that may ignite some excitement within the party, frankly. Joe Biden has done a fantastic job. Unfortunately, with Donald Trump as the nominee, there's just not a debate about what he's been doing. It's not based in reality. If it were, he'd be winning it by a mile, with the Inflation Reduction Act, the massive investment in jobs and clean energy, tackling climate change more than any other president in U.S. history. But frankly, there's folks who are still struggling, and I think they want to blame him for it. So that's something to overcome.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine guest. He is State Senator Chris Larson, a Democrat from the Milwaukee area. Chris, the vice president, apparently coming to Milwaukee. I hope to see her in your backyard on Tuesday. I don't have the details for you, sir, but are you anxious to go see perhaps the future nominee of the Democratic Party when she comes to your backyard?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kamala's great. I've seen her when she's come here before. It's great to have her back here. I know she prioritizes Milwaukee. She's always a good time when she comes to town. So, frankly, I think that she's got a good, fresh message. And who knows by then, maybe things will shake up and change a little bit. What do you guys think? Are you guys going to try to go see her?
I am. And I had the opportunity to interview her briefly in a press gaggle. I think I got 3 questions back in 2018 when she was Senator Kamala Harris and she was fresh off the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. And I was quite impressed with her. And, considering the other guy's a 34-time felon, Chris, I couldn't be more excited about the prospect of a former prosecutor literally laying the lumber to this guy on the debate stage. But I find her to be personally very compelling. And I think the way she's represented, certainly in conservative media, I think they've mightily underestimated her. She's very intense, to my opinion, Chris. I would be excited to see the Dems go in that direction.
Yeah. And I think I think that may end up being it. We've got the convention next month down in Chicago. But you're following news the same as me. I think things are shifting.
And do you anticipate going to the convention, Chris? Do you typically attend? I realize you're not that old a man, but have you gone in 2016? Were you in Philly? I don't recall seeing you there.
No, I've never been to one. It's pretty tough in the middle of summer having young kids. Literally we just finished one camp this week, starting a couple of them next week. And so it's I would love to be able to go to, Democracy Camp and to be able to hang out with you guys and hang out with folks from across the country. The opportunity has always been elusive. It's the one time where kids are out of school, so I've got to take advantage of it.
Chris, last minute of the interview here. New elective maps in the state of Wisconsin, very important that the Democrats make some hay. certainly chance to win the assembly, but hopefully make some hay in the state senate as well. Chris, how optimistic are you about the down ballot outcome?
Oh, I think there's a lot of excitement there. I mean, I've been raising money for candidates and out there knocking on doors for them. There is a new class of folks coming in here with a lot of excitement who, frankly, some of them are running in really, really tough districts, but they are running with excitement and vigor as if it's a plus 10 Dem district. And I don't know if you had a chance to dig through the campaign finance reports, right? Money in politics isn't everything, but it's usually a sign. And when you have candidates outraising their opponents in a competitive race by 20-1 on the Democratic side with grassroots donations coming in, I think it's going to be a really good year down ballot. So everybody is out there knocking on doors. There's a level of excitement, frankly, I haven't seen since the recall elections back when we had the battle on gerrymandered maps. You know, those maps are torn up. We have fair maps. And we've got some pretty exciting candidates, including right here in Milwaukee County.
Chris, sorry to cut you short. Thank you so much for
grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all, airing of the grievances. Encouraged. Required. 844-967-2789, talk or text, they both work.
Well, Tracy left at least one grievance here on the text line. Tracy from Johnson Creek, thank you for listening. I was at Aurora Medical Center Summit Oconomowoc this morning, 7 a.m., no computers. And the lab area said ones who left their computers on sign-in didn't get affected. She writes. And then a little bit more. I'm mad. I'm angry. All this going on. Memes, funny ones, true ones give me oxygen. Stay safe, everyone. And she tells us also, apparently the community page in Watertown said the Speedway gas station is closed due to a cyber thing. The cyber thing, apparently what Y2K was promised to be, dumb. You know, I was partying hard that New Year's Eve, 1999. I was partying like it was 1999. One more llama for Madison said, with the limit on terms, how could Donald Trump stay in power if, God forbid, he is elected? And I would say, well, he just changes it.
He just stays.
And if they had the legislative majority that, you know, if the worst fears being expressed by Nancy Pelosi and others come true and Joe Biden stays in, and it is truly an electoral wipeout, a red wave, if you will, well, he might have the electoral power to change the term-limited presidency, because it wasn't always such, right? FDR got elected 4 times. It was only then that they started limiting the term of the presidency. Could you not change it back if you had enough MAGA sentiment behind the old man?
What are you going to do if he just decides not to leave? You know what I'm saying? Nah, I'm not going. I mean, we already did this once. He had no consequence. Donald Trump personally had zero consequence to his coup attempt. Come to D.C. will be wild. January 6th, sat there for over 3 hours, did nothing to support the thin blue line that we're keeping, what? All the Congress folks alive. Come on, man. You think if the crazy mob gets in and see a bunch of stiffs, that they're going to be able to distinguish who's who, who's red, who's blue, who's Democratic, who's independent, who's Republican? That's the thing about the mob mentality, man. It doesn't matter. It rolls over everything and everyone. And Donald Trump has paid zero consequence for that. Zero consequence. Oh, he got impeached, but he didn't get convicted, right? You know, he's charged. We got some trials that apparently supposed to happen. Tanya Chutkan, judge, please. Are we doing something? What's happening there?
Many trials.
Sure. Okay, let's hear it. Let's do it. Let's get it scheduled. Let's go. Let's go. Time is of the essence. But if he gets in and there's a red wave, or even if there's not a red wave, but Donald Trump wins, who's going to take him out? He's got what? He's a king? What's the consequence of Donald Trump just deciding he's going to stay? What's going to happen? What are you going to do?
Declaring himself a constitutional monarch of some sort.
You and what army?
That has always been the question, Dom, in some way, shape, or form. You know, what is the value of laws if people are unwilling to honor them, right? If there are no guardrails, if you are
them,
the
enforce them, have consequences for breaking them. Yeah, good point.
Well, if I'm the commander in chief of the U.S. military, I got some buddies. You know what I mean? Like, I got some guys backing me, and that would be the craziest thing. This mass deportation, they talked about it last night. At least some of the speakers did. And, you know, they love this idea, right? They're going to deport 11 million people. And I'm thinking to myself, you will not have an agricultural workforce. You won't have any meat in the factories because so many of these factories are being manned by people that are of immigrant descent that have crossed the border and maybe don't have a legal residency here. Maybe using a fake, you know, driver's license to gain employment. But at the end of the day, if you take them all away and you change basically the character of the United States, you know, don't give us your huddled masses yearning to be free. We're going to deport them in a mass deportation. And this is very, very popular amongst the MAGA base, man. There were some times they were losing that crowd last night, from Kid Rock to Donald Trump. They're putting them to sleep. But not when they were talking about the mass deportation. You know, the crueler, the better. The crueler, the better. And that is the party. That is the alternative. That's what's on the line right now, Dom. Just wish I had a better choice in the other column. Different choice,
you know,
perhaps.
Obviously, logistically, how does this pan out? How do you do it? Who's going to do it? What's going to happen? But even all that being said, let's say you come up with the perfect plan. They don't break any law. It's going to cost lots of money. But hell, what's money? Ain't my money, right? Right, Republicans? So you do that. Now, what happens to those jobs now? Well, because obviously those folks, regular citizens, aren't going to take those jobs. Don't want those jobs. Those immigrants are not taking your jobs. They're doing the jobs that you don't want. So what's going to happen then? Well, someone still got to do the job, man. You got to process the meat. You got to pick the vegetables. Things got to happen. Well, now you got to what? Pay more. You got to pay more. You got to pay a lot more to get people to do that. Well, that's going to increase the prices, right? So now you have what? Massive inflation on top of the cost and trauma and court battles and gridlock that would come by trying to do something like this. But are you going to have, you know, issue papers? How's this going to work? You know, if someone has a Spanish accent and looks like they come from Mexico, you're just going to grab them? You're going to make them prove to you? How's that going to work? Are you going to go to the farms up in upper Wisconsin and tell them, hey, sorry, all your cows get mastitis because we're taking all the workers? And how many of those folks who are employing these migrant laborers are actually Trump supporters? I mean, the whole thing, while it's great, really fires them up, has zero practicality. And you got to prioritize because there are not unlimited funds. You get the criminals and the scary ones out first. That's what you do. That's what you got to do. Everyone's trying to do a job, support their family, and have a life. Because this country is that shining city on a hill. You keep telling people that they want to come here. Folks, we're the devil's advocates. We want you to come here. 844-967-2789.
Dom will leave the light on for you.